All right. Thank you for being here. I hope you enjoyed the dinner, and thanks for coming early and having some fellowship. Good to have Libby back. She was on the mission field for a little bit, and good to have her back for a little while. Ushers are coming with the notes. I know some of you are bummed out, like, hey, I like sitting in the balcony, but we have a bunch of people out in the Patch the Pirate program and so forth, and so plus those that clean upstairs like that they don't have to clean an extra day, okay? We are staying in the book of Proverbs. We're looking at what Proverbs says about avoidance, things we're supposed to avoid, and we've looked at many of them. We are specifically looking at, this is our seventh point, spending pitfalls. What are some things related to our finances that Proverbs talks about? And by the way, I want God's blessing on every area of my life, right? And sometimes we think of God's blessing solely in, this is going to sound wrong, but I think you know what I'm going to say, solely in spiritual things. And everything's spiritual for the Christian, I get that. But when it comes to our finances, it can hinder us spiritually, it can hinder us practically, and so we need to understand some things. People get in trouble with their finances not because they're bad people, because they just don't simply understand finances and do some baseline things that are going to put them in a bad situation or could put them in a bad situation. And so we're going to start. I think she lists some of the points there we've already went through. I'm not going to go through them again. This is a new thought. Avoid trusting what you have over who you are. Avoid trusting what you have over who you are. In other words, we all desire to have security. Okay? That's what we want. We want to make sure we have everything that we need and we'll never, ever have to worry about something again. But that's not reality. That's not truth. And by the way, when we think of being secure, our security should never be tied up in anything or anyone. And guys, if you could get me a little more monitor here, it's a little bit low. It's a little bit light. And when we tie it to any something or someone, then it's only going to be as secure as those is what it is. In fact, that's your point there. Security, if we're going to have security, that trait must be placed in something that is actually secure. Okay? It's like faith. Faith is only as strong as what you put it in. If you put your faith in something that's weak, you could have the strongest faith in the world, but it's not going to produce anything. Okay? That's why Jesus said you can have a little faith, you can do great things. Why? Because of the dynamic of faith, partially, but because of who the faith is placed in, faith in God. And so it's very important that we do this. And when it comes to finances, it can really mess us up and cause us to trust in the wrong things. Never put your security, your hope, and your riches. Here's the verse. He that trusteth in riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. In other words, and we're going to explain it, he says a person focused on money falls. Falls. Why? Money's just not that secure. If that's what you're leaning on, you're trusting in, it is going to let you down. But a person focused on righteousness flourishes. Okay? Now, what? Righteousness and riches or finances are enemies? It's our attitude or our mentality. Because many times a person will look at their finances and they're willing to trade. Now listen to this. They're willing to trade their righteousness for the right amount of money. That's what it is. And we looked at that last week about shady business dealings, being dishonest. If it's all about the bottom line, then why would we live right? But as a Christian, we understand that the bottom line isn't our bank account. The bottom line is what kind of Christian, what kind of character we have. Yeah. That stuff will all fall in line, don't get me wrong. But that's got to be nailed. And so that's the point we're trying to make. As we mentioned many times, and I hope you get it, and you say you're not, just so up as we're talking about finances, money is a competing God. Yeah. Now, why do I say that? Because money will promise many of the results that we are supposed to get from God. Okay? So, security is one of them, but it's like, that's something that's not supposed to come in a little square, or not square, rectangle piece of paper. And really, it's not even a piece of paper anymore, right? It's a lot of places. I was somewhere the other day, several times, like, you know, do you take cash? They just look at you like, what's that, right? That's why our kids that go to, particularly public school, they can't, a lot of them, math's not their thing anymore. Because they don't really have to, you don't have to know math. Yeah. You know, it's like everything's figured out for you. But look at some of the things that we should get and have our confidence in. What does the word trust mean? Trust means to be bold in. In other words, we're bold about something. If we trust God, we are bold in the Lord. It also means to have confidence in. By the way, these all go together, right? Because if I'm bold in the Lord, it's because I trust in Him and I have confidence in Him, and confidence will always lead to boldness. And then to be secure in. I'm confident, I'm bold in God, and I'm secure in Him. These are all things that come from God. Look it up there. Boldness. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. According to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Right? That's something, it comes from God. Say, how can we, as Christians, if you're a Christian, you're going to have to live in such a way that is, in a sense, a rebuke or a rejection of the world. And how do you have the confidence? And I'm not saying that, you know, we stand up in a mean way. It's just our lifestyles are going to be completely different. So why do we have the confidence and boldness to do that? Because we trust in the Scripture. We know it's true. So we're willing to take that next step. Amen. And not just pay lip service. I like the thing in Acts. They prayed, and guess what God gave them? God gave them boldness. They went out and preached the gospel in spite of potential persecution. But not only are we supposed to have boldness in God, we should have confidence in God. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. How many of you have ever trusted someone or had confidence in them and they've let you down? Oh, yeah. Right? It's like, how did that happen? Because they're human. You can't trust them. You can trust people, but you understand what I'm saying. But some people will let you down. But you know God never lets you down. If God says it and I have confidence in it, it's going to happen. God will always come through in the way that He says He's going to come through. And I can have confidence in that. You know how come we have assurance of salvation? Because my assurance of salvation is not in me. It's in His Word. And I can go back and remember the time I trusted Christ and said, according to Your Word, You said, that settled it, and I'm trusting and I have my confidence in that. And so we have confidence in the Lord. And then security. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, my high tower. This is all talking about really protection. Right? God's my rock. He's not moving, neither am I. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my protection, and I have security in Him. If you put your security in anything else, you might be gravely disappointed. But if your security is in God, you will never be disappointed. And so we take these things that trust means, and people get money and they have boldness in that money. Everything's going to be fine. They'll do things they wouldn't normally do. Their confidence is in that, and their security. It's just nothing more than silliness. Those things are supposed to come from God, okay? And we get that from Him. So what are we saying here? Trust is an attitude issue. It really is. You know, what's my attitude? What am I thinking towards this situation? And the true deceit of money is that it gives you a false sense of trust. We said it before. Matthew says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one or serve the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And when we're thinking about finances, think of it this way. You know, we have to deal with money on a regular basis, right? It's just part of life. But if I put my confidence in money and that becomes everything in my life, it's going to cause a schism between me and God. It just does. But if my trust and confidence is in God, it's not going to cause a problem with my money. Because as I'm following God, I'm going to use it correctly. I'm going to have the right perspective about it. Okay? Whereas that love of money and that attitude, that wrong attitude towards money, starts to chip away at your foundation of spirituality. If we trust in our riches as our source of security, Matthew makes it plain that we will be disappointed. Disappointed. Look at Matthew chapter 6. He says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, but where thieves do not break through or steal. Now, he's not saying we should not, you know, prepare and be prepared to pay our bills and those types of things. But if the game plan is just money, 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 get it, get it, get it, he's like, you're investing it in something that really doesn't bring long-term benefits. But if we invest some of that in the work of God, that does bring long-term benefits. Look what we're saying here. Where you place your security determines how secure you are. Look what he says in verse 19. They are. If you're placing our money there, our riches and our finances, you see the little bullet there, they are as secure as this world. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth. Let me ask you, how secure is this world? Things change. I mean, come on. It's this world's getting crazier. And all we're like, I want everything to be about what I can get on this earth. How's that working for people? Why is it that people are more unfulfilled than ever? Every major, you look at every major thing that would determination of happiness and joy and things like this, it's going downhill. As things become, you know, we become more connected and all the advantages and the things that modern society can give you, how come all the important things are going down, right? I'm going to be mentioning something about the next generation in a few weeks, but as I was looking at it and studying it, the strengths and weaknesses of the different generations. This generation, their strengths is adaptability. They think more in terms globally as nationally, and they're really adept with technology. And yet, you know, the weaknesses are a lot more mental health issues. A lot more, they're not dependable. Okay, why? This world is changing. So why would I want to put everything in this world? This world isn't that secure. And yet we live for it. And it's as secure as the temporal. He says, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Everything you buy has a shelf life. Right? You know that. I mean, back in the early days of computers, and I worked a home business, so I always needed one, even back in the days when it was just becoming popular, and you'd buy a computer, and it had a, you won't even understand this, and let your old, you know, it had a 386 chip to run it. You're like, well, that's good. You know, how many of you understand what I'm talking about? That's the chip that ran it, right? And that was, you know, and my first computer had a huge hard drive, 170 megabytes. Man, if I take a minute video of my grandchildren, it's more than that. Okay, it's like, and then it's like a year later, it's like 486 Pentium came out, and hard drives with 250 megabytes, and I had to get one of those. And then a year later, it's like it's the speed doubled again, and there was like no end to it. It just kept going on, and now the this incremental rises. There's not much like that anymore. But it's like, when is this thing going to end? I mean, that brand new computer I bought 6 months ago, I'm reading a computer magazine, I'm like, it's outdated. I want a new one. Okay? The only thing that stopped me was the price. That's how this thing is. Moth and rust doth corrupt. It's not going to last forever. You buy that new car, and man, no one can touch it. 3 weeks later, hey, do you want to use it for the bus ministry? You'll put 70 kids in that thing, eating ice cream. So that's how it is. We secure, we're putting our stuff in things that don't last. And then it's only as secure as its protection. And where thieves do not break through nor steal. Now, thankful for our governor, he's making that easier. So you shouldn't say that. Well, he should enforce the law. What, that, can I just be upset for a minute? It is ridiculous. What, they won't even arrest you if it's less than $1,000? What are we doing here? That's ridiculous. And Brother Newsom, he knows me. We'll discuss it. No, I'm kidding. But it's like, what are we doing? Why keep the law? I mean, that's not even breaking the law. Think about that. By the way, it's breaking God's law. Okay? But it's silly. There's no protection. But God has great protection. So if we, where we place our security also will determine how spiritual it is. Look at verse 20. It's as spiritual as heaven. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do we think about eternity? Money's not eternal. But you know what's eternal about it? That which I invest in God's work. And I'm not trying to chisel more money out of you. By the way, you're very giving. And I want to encourage, encourage you for that. You know, if you invest in, you gave for different things we do around here, you know what you're investing in? You're investing in heaven. That's a good thing. Because it's the next part. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. It's as spiritual as eternity. No one's breaking in. I mean, if you had a catalytic converter that you sent to heaven, no one's going to steal that thing. Okay? How ridiculous. They'd steal your catalytic converters. But anyhow, no one's stealing it. It's not losing its value. Nothing's corrupted. And it's as spiritual as God's promises, where thieves do not break through or steal. So it's just a matter of our focus. What's our focus on? You say, Pastor, are you against people having money? Of course not. I'm against us having the wrong mentality about it, right? The best verses about this, and we'll move on, are spoken in Proverbs. And this is with everything in our life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, we'd be pretty good if we just did that, right? If you get the foundational thing right, everything else will turn out good. And if our trust is ultimately in God, and we're not leaning to our own understanding, you know what? We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay in every area of life, okay? This one will go over really well. Avoid getting money in a wrong way. Avoid getting money in a wrong way. There is a right way and a wrong way to earn money. If it is acquired in an undeserved or wrong manner or lazy manner, it will be wasted. Here it is. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Okay? Wealth gotten in an empty way, a way that God says is empty and unprofitable, it shall be diminished. It's not going to last. But if you get it by proper channels, working hard, doing what you're supposed to do, then it shall increase. God doesn't just teach us about how to handle money, you know, what we should do, our attitude, those things. He speaks about how we get it. Well, Pastor, if I just go out and I get a bunch of money, don't ask how I got it, right? But you know, and then afterwards I'll handle it the way God says. God says, no, that's not what he wants. It's all important because it's a character issue. So what are we saying? There's a right way to get it, and there's a wrong way to get it. What does society say? The end justifies the mean. Get it any way you can. Okay? just as long as you get it. You know, there, how many remember the phrase, he who dies with the most toys wins? How many remember that? I remember years and years ago, I knew that phrase. I've never had anybody actually say it. But I was out, when we started a church in Florida, I was out soul winning with a guy named Azinger. He was related to the guy that used to be a professional golfer, Azinger. And we were out soul winning, and he was talking to this guy, and this guy had money, and he was being real cocky. We were just trying to share the gospel with him. He goes, I just live by the philosophy, he that dies with the most toys wins. And Azinger looked at him and said, but he still dies. What happens after that? Like, really? So if you die with a nice boat and a nice house and a nice car and a big bank account, you win? You win what? You're going to be buried in a box. Well, I'll make sure it's gold lined. You won't use it. Okay? It's a box. And people do that. They like everything's about acquisition. Do you understand? There are wrong ways to acquire wealth. You want a few? Sure. Gambling. Well, I'm just, no. And by the way, these idiotic excuses people with, oh, it's like buying stock. No, you're investing in a company that's doing work. That's different than throwing a quarter in a slot machine. Okay? Well, I'll play the lotto. A lotto is a tax for people that are bad at math. I'll tell you what, I will sign off on you playing lotto if one thing happens. You get struck by lightning. You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning than you do winning the lotto. Now, I know what you're going to do. You're going to wait till it rains, and you're going to go out in the middle of a golf. They say trees, right? Raining with a golf club. I got to get hit. You won't die. You'll die, so I'll take your lotto ticket anyhow. But that's an empty way to get money. And by the way, you say, well, it's addictive. And don't look, well, you know what they do with that lotto money? They put it in the school system. Super good investment. And no, they're not putting hardly anything in there, people. Okay? But it's just, you're going to get hooked on that thing. You can't control that. Okay? And that went really well. Cheating. You know. You lie on your timesheets. Okay? You do things like this. Boy, it's really good. Stealing. We looked at that last week, right? I was shocked at the numbers. But, you know, by the way, can I just tell you something? You need to, I'm not saying your kids steal, but all kids steal. But you need to teach them when they do things like that, it's wrong. One of our kids, when they were all little, one of them, I won't say it his because I don't want to embarrass them, but they came back from my sister's house. And they had a something in their backpack that wasn't theirs. It belonged to their cousin. I'm like, hey, where'd that come from? Like, really quiet. So I'm like, all right, come here. I called my sister. I said, so-and-so has something I just eliminated three, wants to tell you. And she's sitting there crying. And she's like, I took this from my cousin. Okay? They're going to learn that stealing's wrong. And by the way, here's the thing. They find something on the ground, mine. Like, hey, you found it here at church or at school. It belongs to somebody. Yeah, but I found it. Really? Is that how that works? Teach them. Scamming people. You know, just scam them. It's okay to sell things at a profit, right? But man, if I know something's only worth $10 and I'm trying to get like $1,000 out of them, that's not, by the way, if you're a salesman, there's nothing wrong with it. Be an honest salesman. You can still make a good living. You don't, boy, this is really quiet. But I don't think we have a lot of salesmen or anything. All right, what about immoral industries? When I moved to Florida and we were super tight on money, it was hard to get a job when we first got down there, the time of the year, and I was applications every day. And so I either went out job hunting. If I didn't, I would, they had these temporary work companies. We'd go in like, hey, you got a job today? And they would just give you a one-day job. You go and get paid, and if they didn't have a job, I'd go job hunting. And they wanted us to work loading trucks at, I think it was Budweiser. I'm like, I'm not going. That really was quiet. I'm not going to go load trucks at a beer company. It's just immoral. It's wrong. Say, well, pastor, I've heard other pastors say it's okay, and they talk about drinking beer. Buy them a Bible. Because obviously they're not reading the one they have. Okay? It's like, anyhow. But I'm not going to be involved in that. Get rich quick scheme plans. You know, I won't get into that. I don't want to mess up your pyramid schemes. Just, and we already talked about it, just taking advantage of others. You know, don't do that. Don't do that. Because you know what happens when we get money in the wrong way? There's built-in consequences. You know what happens when we allow ourselves to do that? We're eroding our character. You know, a good name is rather to be chosen than what? Great. I would rather someone think highly of my character, not that I'm faking them, you know what I'm saying, than to be rich. Because most people are like, I don't care what you think about me. I got bank. You know, my checkbook's bigger. No one uses checkbooks, right? My bank app is bigger than yours, right? Yeah, but you are a bad person. Your character. All right? And so, you know, there's a possibility of addiction. You get addicted on some of these things. You got to be very careful about that. What about the spiritual health of your marriage? Here someone says, okay, you know, yeah. God says you get money by earning it, by working. And then you go out, and because you want money, you'll work a whole bunch of hours, and you'll neglect your wife, and you'll neglect your children. By the way, that's not in the Bible. I don't see that in the Bible. Okay? So yeah, you know, well, you know, you guys don't understand. I'm working all this time for you. So what? You could take them, so your wife can take them to, you know, I was going to say McDonald's, but you probably can't afford that, Disneyland, or take them on trips or whatever. Come, they want you at home. Why would you miss that? And I'm sure you understand what I'm saying. And then you're just setting an example to your family. Is that really the example you want to set? Remember years ago when Jessica was driving the kids to school, and a girl hit her, right? You were out there already, and you saw her coming, and like, she's not stopping, she's not turning, right in front of our house, wham, hit our car. Father called us. Good thing I kept the recording. He called on our thing. He admitted that it was his daughter's fault, and then he said, hey, I'll just pay to have your car fixed. Well, what he meant to pay to have our car fixed is take it to some guy that knew nothing, and I'm like, okay, he doesn't know what he's doing. You're just... He's like, well, that's the only way I'll do it. I'm like, no, then we'll have to go through the insurance company. So he didn't like that. So then he changed his story and lied. And they had to come out and investigate. And I'm like, I got the recording of him admitting it was her fault. But they came out, and the adjuster came out and said, yeah, look at the things. It was her. But you know what I thought when I heard that? And that girl was 16. It wasn't her first accident. I'm like, that poor kid, that dad just gave that daughter the worst personal example he ever could have given her. To have the insurance company pay that off and be honest is far more important than trying to teach your daughter, if you don't get your way, lie. What a horrible example. And our kids are watching what we think about money and what we'll do to get it. And we have to be very careful. You know what we want? We want shortcuts. By the way, we already talked about why, right? We want shortcuts because it's very important to us. And we think we can be secure. I've given the story, but I have the thing here in Chicago. There was a pastor named Jim Springfield. He, in his church, preached against the lottery. I mean, he preached against it in 1988 when it was kind of becoming a nationwide thing. He hammered on it, man. And then his wife won. $1.2 million. What do you do? Well, she could tithe, I mean. You know what he did? He got up and said, you know what? I've changed my view. Well, first of all, what kind of preacher is that? Okay? I mean, What do you do? And say, honey, that was wrong. Give the money to somebody that can use it. Oh, here's what he said. The book of James says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Man, you can misquote the Bible all the time, can't you? Look at, now let me get through this with us. A couple minutes and we're done. Proverbs does not say that when we obtain wealth in this manner that it will not last, but that it will be lost. Now think about that. It says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be what? Lost? No, diminished. Lower and lower. Yes. Not going to last. Now, you might lose it. Don't get me wrong, right? But why would you use diminished? Well, let me just point it out. If we don't have the character to get money in the right way, now listen to me, we typically don't have the character to handle it the right way. Isn't that what it is? See, when we erode our character in any area, we cannot guarantee that we can like box it in. And that type of change in our character will just, you know, hey, I'm a solid dude in this area, this area, this area, this area. I just steal, cheat, and gamble. Okay. But that's this box. I don't come out of that box, right? It's like, no. It's like, your character, once it starts eroding here and you start getting free with other areas, you can't contain it. And so if my mentality about that is you know, whatever, it doesn't matter as long as I get it, I'm not going to have the right value system. Right? That's why if you always just buy your children everything they want, they don't value. They don't value it, right? There's nothing wrong with buying them things. But at some point, it needs to kick in that, hey, you know, no, you're not just going to get that. There's things you have to do, chores around the house or whatever. Because you want them to equate what they're getting with earning it. And that's teaching them. We don't do that in our society. That's why we have a bunch of 30-year-old guys living in their parents' basement playing video games all day. That don't want to get married because, you know, that's responsibility. I'll have to go to work every day. If that's you, what you do is you either kick them out of the basement or lock them down there and put a hose with running water and hope the thing fills up to the top. Motivation. Next time they come to the table and say, hey, it's time to eat, like, what did you buy? Nothing? You're not eating. Okay? Food is super motivation, right? Like, I'm hungry. I'll go do whatever I have to do, you know? But we can lose it. Look at how many athletes have made millions of dollars. Now, they're not making it in a wrong way, but because they're using something that was given to them by God that they didn't necessarily, now you have to work hard a little bit, but a lot of them never improve. They have this natural God-given talent. They can jump to the moon and back. And they make all this money, but because, you know, it's always kind of been handed to them on a plate, you'd be surprised at how many athletes after they leave sports, they've not thought towards the future. Now, some of them do. Some of them are good businessmen, and they thought ahead. But others of them just don't have any character. It's party life. I got the money. Their game goes down, and they're broke 10 years after they get done because they don't have another job making that much money. So the character is very important. Now, how we get this as important as what we do with it. Here it is. Look, give me, I'll this finishes up. He that gathereth by labor shall increase. Right? Why? Because you're learning a work ethic. It's like, that's how you get this thing. That translates. A person who has enough character to work for his money will usually have the character to properly manage it. You know, you think it through, right? You buy something, you stop and think for a minute, like, how many hours of work did that cost me? Like, eating a Taco Bell is probably 2 hours worth of work. Don't do it. And 2 hours in the restroom, but still. You know, it's like, I shouldn't have said that. I really should not. Someone just say, hey, pastor. My wife's not in here, so I'm off the chain. I guess, I don't know. But you know what I'm saying? It's like, wait, that's 3 hours worth of work. For what? Let's get away from this entitlement. And we already talked about it. These kids that, you know, they want all their stuff to, they want everything given to them. Let me give you this. Let me give this one all straight and I'll be done. Years ago, I heard it was on a radio show. It was a It was a guy who was a Christian. He was a mobster. And he was in the mafia. He was one of the very few that was able to get out because he worked for the boss and he didn't really report to anybody else. And when that mafia boss died, he kind of was able to get out. He got saved. And after he got saved, he said the first time he went to church, he wanted to beat the pastor up. The pastor went to shake his hand. And he said, "Get away from me, I'm going to hit you." So it's like security. And so he finally went back and he got saved. And he said, "I got to get a job." And he got a job and he said this. He goes, "I looked at that first paycheck and I'm thinking, that's how much I used to spend on underwear." And he thought this, he goes, "But I felt good because for the first time in my life, I earned it." That's what God wants. And that translates, by the way. And so we'll stop there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the principles of your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would just help us. All of us need to deal with these in our life. And it's so easy to get, you know, to get off kilter. And Lord, there's some things sometimes we just need and we wish we had. And sometimes we will be tempted to maybe not be right in this area. But I pray you would help us to be, all of us. And just be with us. Bless us now. Thank you. Thank you for bringing these folks here tonight. And be with us until we meet together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.